live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Hello, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon and Nate.
Hello.
And Julie. Do we have Julie on the line? Because I don't see the little light.
Yes, I'm here. Can't you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you on a special line this time.
Oh, special. Like special ed or what?
No.
But it's a short bus phone.
Different than usual is all I'm saying. Which is funny because some of our forum goers have consistently asked to get you on some other system since your voice sounds too much like it's over the phone. Because, of course, it is over the phone.
Well, that wouldn't be the case if you guys had moved to California.
We're working on it.
As soon as we can.
Andrew's helping us out. Meanwhile, he's very busy in the studio there trying to figure out how to make us work. So there's probably a lot of people listening right now who don't usually listen because we announced that we're doing an interview with Gabe and Tycho tonight. Truth be told, I spoke to Tycho Friday evening and said, hey, we're going to do an interview. Oddly, they haven't called in yet. So
not surprising. We've had this happen before.
Now, I would say our luck actually getting our interviews when we say we're going to do them, having the people actually call in. What are we, like 50-50 now? Are we better
than
that?
Maybe. Like 48.
I don't know. Well, our credibility with all these new PA listeners, right down the tubes.
Right down the toilet flush.
Yeah, completely. So
we have internet listeners of like 4 now,
yeah.
Which is about normal.
The original promise. Oh my God, we have more listeners than we've ever had before. I'm now nervous.
What is it? How many you got?
A ridiculous number. All right, so eventually they will call in, and if not, I will convince them to do an interview on another week.
If they do not call in, we are going to sing for you.
Okay, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about the singing. I am glad that we prepared other things to talk about
in case
they didn't come in.
We totally didn't. So the theory is, theoretically, that they'll call in and we'll interview them for now shorter than 2 segments of the show. And
yes.
Then for the second half of the show, we are going to open up the phone lines. Since they haven't called in, anybody is free to call.
Really? If we would, yeah.
And talk to us about video game related topics.
We got nothing right now.
No, I do.
But if they do call in, we do recommend that you get on the phone because we'll probably have a lot of callers. So you want to make sure you get your call in so you can ask as many questions as you want as fast as you can.
That's why we have Julie, because she does all the things
she
that I forget to do.
She cuts right through.
Exactly. So there are some things like last week I wanted to talk about this, and I think we actually touched on it. But didn't really cover it much. I was talking about the launch windows between systems in, like, Japan
you
and
said,
the U.S.
Yeah,
and
roughly we talked about it.
And I didn't quite understand it. And I guess since we have no interviewer, we can just...
We can talk all we want.
Exactly. Unless, Julie, did anything happen with you in G4 this week? You want to talk about
it? You know, we're still trying to get word about what the new changes are going to bring about for G4, but no word yet.
You know, I think we actually scooped the fact that the president and the...
Yeah, that was first on our show.
Yeah, I haven't read it anywhere all week, actually, about the changing of the guard, which you told us about. So maybe you leaked something you weren't supposed to.
You haven't read about it anywhere?
No.
No.
I mean, not on any of the big game sites.
That's interesting. Well, maybe it hasn't taken effect yet, or maybe it was just a really bad rumor, but I heard it from Victor Lucas and a couple of other people over at G4 that have pretty good ins, so I think it's... legitimate, but I don't know.
I hope so.
It wasn't followed by, and don't tell anybody about this.
Here I am, like, divulging huge G4 secrets. They're like, no, now we have to change the plan. Chatterbox knows.
Yeah. All right, so let's switch gears here. This is what I wanted to talk about last week, and I don't think I did. As much as I'd love to talk about Penny Arcade. So I was realizing that, all right, so there are some systems like the Xbox, the new Xbox, whatever, and the old one that release... pretty much universally around the world, although Europe seems to consistently get completely screwed. But then we're reading about the PS3 and how, like, the launch window's probably going to be like the other PlayStations and be gigantic, like 6 or 7 months or something. And so I was just wondering why that is.
Well, I think you pretty much nailed it, you know, on the head there with, you know, they send it out in Japan first and kind of fix it up. You know, it's the test market.
I mean, do you really think that's the case? That it's a test bed?
It would seem so. To me, anyways. That's what I've always thought it worked out that way.
I just wonder why, because I think what happened is last week I had the thoughts in my head, and now this week I completely... I don't understand it. But my point was before, I think anyway, when I had this stuff all in my head, that I think it only hurts the Japanese, and they get screwed because they have the system early, and what they have is basically prototypical, right? And they don't have the final unit and everything. Then 6 months later, we get what should have been made in the first place.
Yeah.
Sort of like they were tested out with what was officially the PSX, which was like the DVR, PS2 thing. Do you remember reading about
that? A little bit.
All right. So I think our listeners know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's big, really expensive unit that everyone was really excited about when it first came out, and then like it didn't do half the things they promised it would do, and then officially like it was dropped and never released in America. And so that's sort of an example where they released something, and then I guess in that particular case it actually didn't even pan out and they didn't release it here, which is sort of like the worst case scenario for their situation of releasing something
later
everywhere else in the world. We have a caller apparently, so I'm just going to take him. We got Robert from Tennessee. Am I right about that?
Memphis? Yeah, Robert.
All right. Killer.
Hey, Robert.
Robert, what did you want to talk about today since we don't have an interviewee?
Well, actually, I am from the PA forums, and where I heard about you guys. So I was wondering what you guys thought about the new Day of Defeat source.
I'm going to hope that Nate knows something about this. He's our PC guy for the new listeners. I'm generally console. He's generally PC.
I haven't talked a lot about this on the air, but I have a very old computer. And if I could play it, I would. I very much would like to. But I get frame rates in the ones. So I'm, like, if you want to talk about, like, say, Homeworld or, you know, like, King's Quest 3, you know, I can handle that.
What did I say about our credibility earlier in the show?
Hey, I'm working with Julie. I said I need one of those computers.
Okay, well, have you guys played the new Dawn of War expansion?
Oh, yeah, no, hang on a second. Julie, okay. Julie was asking something.
I was just asking, what is the game in question? I didn't hear what he said.
It was Day of Defeat?
Day of Defeat Source.
Source.
Which I believe, is that like a total conversion mod?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so explain this to me and to Julie, because Julie can play everything under the sun on her new gaming rig.
Games that haven't even been invented yet, she's going to be able to play.
Yeah. I have the Mercedes-Benz of PCs.
Yeah, that's because she's cute. The video game companies send her stuff.
Yeah.
They don't send it to me. All right, so Robert, explain the situation to me.
Okay, well, Half-Life 2 came out, you know, like last year. And this was, like, if you bought the silver package or above over Steam, you got Day of Defeat Source automatically. And, like, a couple of weeks ago, it finally got released. And the Day of Defeat mod is a World War II modification where you pick a class and there's objectives you have to capture and whatnot. And they upgraded it to the Source engine last week. But it's a lot of changes some people don't like. And, like, a lot of new people are getting introduced to the game, new and whatnot. So
this is because it's basically free because they already bought Half-Life 2.
Yeah, well, if you didn't buy Half-Life 2, the silver, the gold, you have to buy Day of Defeat Source on its own, which is, I think it's 10 or 20
If you're
bucks.
A tool like me and bought the bronze edition, then you don't get it.
So what do you think of it?
I've played it, and I think, like, I don't think it's nearly as good graphically as, like, Counter-Strike Source or Half-Life 2, but it is pretty fun. I enjoy it. It's got some, I think, balance issues, but...
So are you calling,
because,
like...
Half-Life, as we all know, is one of the greatest games of all time. In fact, I just was playing it the other day on my Mercedes-Benz of a PC, and honestly, I mean, I wouldn't think that you really could outdo that game, you know?
Well, here's my question. Are you calling to ask, like, am I concerned about the effect of Source, like, and how mods are being created, or just my opinion of the game in general?
I think, well, just the opinion of the game.
Pretty much just the game in general, because you guys said you were just, like, somebody call in, so, yeah.
No, definitely I want people to call in. But my short response to that is, I haven't played it.
Okay. Like, if someone wants to call in, talk about, like, DDR or something like that,
yeah,
Alan is your
say.
Man.
That's why we have two of us, so he does PC, but he apparently failed me.
Yeah, I need some money for a new video card and lots of other... See, the problem is, my computer in itself is fine, but it's a laptop. It's an Alienware laptop. And I... To get a new video card.
On a laptop?
We've had this discussion before, Julie, and he doesn't get it.
Listen, I was very stupid when I bought this.
You've listened three times. I'm ready to listen. What's your excuse, man?
There is no excuse. I'm an idiot. And I thought, I'll just buy a laptop and it'll be really cool because I'll have a laptop. Then I realized that the battery life with two batteries is like 45 minutes. Portability worth of nothing.
Yeah. All right, listen, Robert, thank you for trying to save us from dead air. I really appreciate it. But, man, you made me look bad by asking me about a game I didn't know.
So that means you did a good job, Rob. Good job.
Yeah. You know, what I have been playing lately is Burnout 4. We have
Burnout Revenge.
Burnout Revenge, which is Burnout 4, right?
Let's at least get the name right, if we can. Let's try and have some semblance of...
All right. So a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I don't know, we had Dave, one of the marketer guys who worked on Burnout Revenge from EA, call in and tell us a little bit about the game, but I hadn't had the chance to play it at the time. And then I started playing it a little bit because he was nice enough to send me a copy. And wow, is it fantastic. Now, I know that I generally don't want to just sit here and talk about how I like games or not, because that's really not what I like to do with the show.
Well, we played it last night. It was very good.
This particular game is officially fantastic. And actually, since we have PA listeners, they'll probably remember that Tycho was drooling over it the other day in one of his posts last week or something, talking about how everyone needs to play that game. Actually, 2 weeks ago, I guess. And so definitely, if you haven't played it, I would recommend it. So it's just added to my list now. I have to continue playing Burnout Revenge and Hulk and God of War, which I still have not completed. So my life is just getting more complicated with a greater list of games that I need to play. Anyway, we're going to go to break now, and I'm going to try and contact Tycho. I don't know if I
hopefully
should be...
they will be back.
You think threats would work? I don't know.
Cross your fingers.
All right, we'll be back after this
break,
everybody.
I have a gun.
Thanks for staying tuned. Please don't leave.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome back, folks. It's Alon is making a little call here. I will be taking reins of the show once again. I'm very bad at this.
All right, listen, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
I'm Nate.
That's Nate, introing our second segment. I'm going to let you know, for those who don't already, that UAT, University of Advancing Technology, UAT.edu, is where you can go to basically learn how to make games. We did it. Actually, Nate still does it.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, and we just found out tonight that one of the professors there, he has a radio show on the station, too. Had no idea. Anyway, UAT.edu, go there if you want to learn how to make games, do the art or the programming. It's the place to be, or at least one of several places to be. If you're interested in that sort of thing.
That's right.
So during the break, since once again we don't have this interview we were expecting to have, I'm crying inside, by the way. We were looking up a few
things. And on the outside during the break.
Yeah. So one thing that Nate pointed out to me is that GamePolitics.com has an interesting story right here. We've talked about Jack Thompson quite a bit.
To death.
Pretty much, yeah. We've kicked that horse when it was already dead. But this is interesting to me, really. Here's what happened. I guess Jack Thompson, according to GamePolitics.com anyway, Jack Thompson, the lawyer who's basically wanting to destroy video games as we know them, claims that Governor Jeb Bush's staff, that's the governor of Florida, and that's where Jack Thompson lives, said that Jeb Bush's team asked him to create a video game bill for Florida, which to me seems kind of crazy, because I figured they would want to do it on their own rather than asking
you
some independent... wacky Christian right lawyer to do it. So, anyway.
Well, it is a Bush.
Yeah.
One in that state. So.
I guess that makes sense. I think half our listeners just dropped when I said something about being Christian. So Jeb Bush apparently claims this is untrue. So, this is great for me because one of Jack Thompson's things is how he talks about how the politicians are all behind him. You know, he's Hillary Clinton does all these great things, although I guess he bitched about Hillary. About something too at one point. He says all these politicians and everybody is behind him wanting to limit the accessibility of video games, all this, which actually we've talked about being an acceptable decision.
Yes.
Limiting that. But anyway, now there's this striking between the politicians and Jack, which could be what we're looking for. It could be the fight that we want
to
happen.
Can only be beneficial.
It's something to openly discredit this jackass, Jack Thompson. So anyway, we have Adam, one of our very
Which Adam?
Loyal followers.
Is it Adam 1 or 2?
I don't know if it's Adam 1 or 2. It's just Adam from Ontario, and they live in the same place. So, Adam, you're on the line.
Hello?
Adam.
Adam, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm great, thank you. What did you want to ask us about?
My question's for you. What's your favorite DDR song to dance to?
Wow. This is because of you. You had him do this. My favorite song? I want to say, like, man, there's so many. The one that I do the best at is Can't Stop Falling in Love, the fast version. I don't remember exactly the official name of the fast one, but Club Mix or something, I don't know. The fast one. Although I'm also a really big fan of Exotic Ethnic, or Ethnic Exotic, I think it's Exotic Ethnic. Because I also perfected that one in the arcade once, and so I remember that time. I have a feeling, though, that's a really boring question for Alistair's to hear. What about you? I know, are you the one who won the dance pad last week?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. So you obviously like the game. Tell me about your favorite song.
I like Breakdown on Extreme, Be For You, and anything Captain Jack.
All right, yeah. Have you seen the videos for Captain Jack songs?
Yeah, I have.
All right, good. So you're hardcore.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, unless you got something else, I'm going to move on, continue down GamePolitics.com website.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's it. All right, thanks, dude. That was like
a minute. He never asked me what my favorite song is.
What's your favorite song?
I don't know.
Your favorite song is the sound of this system powering down.
That's right.
All right. So here we go. Governor Bush's office casts doubt on the Thompson press release. Representative Jeb Bush's press office characterized as untrue yesterday's Jack Thompson press release, in which the Miami attorney and self-described anti-game crusader claimed that he was crafting video game legislation on the behalf of the Florida governor. I just think that's really great. And apparently, based on an email received by the GP, what the hell is GP? Game Politics. Thompson is adamantly sticking by his press release. He's also posted on his email here in the comments section. It reads in part, one of the governor's chief's policy advisors called me. His name is Randy Ball. I didn't call him. He told me that the governor would like a video game bill drafted, and unless you know of someone better to do it, it should be you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Ball then said that upon drafting the bill, I should submit it to both Mr. Ball so that the state's bill drafters could go over it, and I should also find receptive legislators to be sponsors. Mr. Ball then said, I'm sure the governor will sign a video game bill that is passed. I don't know. This is great.
Yeah.
Although it's sort of uncool if he really did this, according to
Jack. If it did get through,
they're denying it, because that makes the government look bad and not Jack, and I want Jack to look bad. Anyway, we have another caller, James from California.
Jack looks bad enough on his own. He doesn't need any help.
For anyone who listened to the interview we had with him, I think you might have realized that he does a good job of discrediting himself.
Yes.
But not good enough, because people still listen to him. All right, so we have James from California. James, what can I do for you?
Hey, James.
I am from Penny Arcade myself, and I was just wondering what you guys thought about the new Dawn of War expansion, Winter Assault.
I bet you're asking us about more stuff that we haven't played.
Yeah. I have yet to get it. Dawn of War and really enjoyed it.
All right, so is Penny Arcade like solely PC players?
I'm starting to like PC. It more and more now that I'm finding this out.
It's mostly PC, apparently. Now, I am mostly not PC, and we've discussed this. I've played some PC games in the past, and I can appreciate them when I see them on other people's computers, but I historically don't take the time to actually play them just because of the hassle involved with PC games. And that's why I have you.
That's right. I'm falling behind, though. Like,
am I going to have to give you my PC so that you can play games?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, James, that again, you're totally ruining us.
Usually you're going to have to give me, like, if a game came out, like, say, like, maybe 2 months ago, then I'll have played it.
On someone else's computer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then can I ask a different question, though?
Oh, my God.
Go for it.
Go right ahead.
Have you guys played Dystopia? The Half-Life mod?
The Half-Life mod. Dystopia.
Dystopia. No, I have not. I actually have not even heard of it.
It's PC stuff. We've been playing Advent Rising. We've been playing God of War. We've been playing Hulk.
I've been playing a lot of Xbox games.
Of Xbox?
Lately.
Yeah, and he's been playing some Lumines because for some reason he hadn't played it before, like, three weeks ago.
Well, I really never had access to a PSP. So.
And now you do. That's what happens when you get a girlfriend
who plays games. Who has, like, every PS game ever made.
All right, so, yeah, so thanks, James, for calling in. I got to tell you, if you ask us more PC questions, you're just making us look worse. Apparently, I'm very concerned about my ego.
Yeah.
how I appear to all these new listeners. All right, that's great. So we're going to move on, James. Thank you for calling. John from...
Anyone have any questions
Coastal
about, like, some
Missouri?
Old Sierra games? I could.
How much detail do I need on their location? Mississippi. All right, John, Ask your question.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering where Gabe and Tycho was. Where are they, guys?
I don't know. Like, our phone board here is lighting up, and I'm hoping, what's going on? Like, why they're not one of the people calling? We keep helping people call us about questions I can't answer.
But, like, as we said before, we have been burned on interviews.
Yeah, actually, the very first time, and Nate told the story before.
Yeah, actually, the first time I ever hosted, we had Rob Smith, the editor. Well, he was the editor of PC Gamer, but then he went to the official Xbox magazine, and we were going to interview him. And he never showed. He just didn't show up. And then, like, I think the third segment, Alon just pointed to me, like, about 30 seconds before the break ended. It was like, okay, you're him, and be funny. And then he just asked me questions. It was a very bad, very, very bad bit.
That actually worked out pretty well. Is Julie on the line with us right now? I haven't heard her voice at all.
Funny, I keep talking. Hear me. Are you hearing me now?
I do now.
We do hear you now.
Okay.
Andrew's damning himself for screwing that up.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right.
Because I'm trying to chime in with all these little quips and funny remarks, and I'm just getting dead air from you guys.
No.
They don't hear me.
We never heard you. But let me tell you, one of our best interviews ever was Julie before she hosted the show with us. She actually called in to the show. That was amazing.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, wait a minute. Here's an interview with someone we wanted to interview, and she called in. We're so lucky. We're so lucky that they actually called. Meanwhile, I've got people from Razer, like, emailing me, breaking down the door, wanting to do the interview, and I'm like, listen, I'm not going to give you questions ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a waste of my time. I don't want to just have a canned interview that's going to be boring and lame. So, anyway, my thoughts on Penny Arcade and them not calling in, kind of a bummer, but I know in my heart of hearts that they have a good excuse.
You know, maybe there was a reason why he never said, oh, he posted it. Because he's like, oh, I'll put it off. Because he wasn't going to show. That's what it was. They weren't going to show.
Maybe they thought it was next week. I don't know. Last year, we actually had an interview scheduled with them. This was in June, I believe. And we were making the arrangements to set up the interview with Penny Arcade. I was very excited because we were still very young, right? Now we're a year and a half old, and, you know, we've been around forever. So I expect people to actually call in. But they called in a week before they were supposed to. And so I had to put it off. And it turned out that putting it off took over a year to get them back on the show. And I'm hoping it doesn't take another year to get them back on. So we're going to stop here for a second. We've still got a few more callers to get to. But we're going to go to break, have a little bit of news. Stay tuned. It'll be about 5 minutes. We'll be right back. Thanks,
best
everybody.
Show ever.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technologies graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, where
Hello.
We were hoping to have an interview
with Gabe and Tycho. Not happening.
I'm
going to
interview you, Nate.
Okay.
You know what? You're a video gamer with a girlfriend.
I think that's very
that's a rarity in itself. But we also have Julie on the line. Julie Stouffer, famous for being on G4 in the Real World. She's with us. And well, I'm famous for being me. Alon.
I believe you have fame in your phone number.
Yeah, I do, actually. All right, so here's a situation we just ran into, right? Our lines are totally filled up with all of our new listeners who are trying to call us and talk to us about games, which is fantastic. I've wanted this since day one of the show, and this
are
is like...
Are you sure they're not all trying to embarrass us?
No.
They're all getting together and say, okay, what games haven't they played?
Yeah,
and then we'll ask them about it.
Ask me about Sim Ant, because I haven't played that in 15 years. So... No, but what's interesting here, all the lines are filled, so if Gabe or Tycho did call, they couldn't get through. So
wow.
Andrew's calling Tycho right now and telling him the guest line number, leaving a voicemail with the new phone number to call so they can get through to us. because it's not the caller line. So we have so many callers. I'm pretty much going to pick the ones I want to talk to. And we've got a couple of people who want to talk about the Revolution Controller. Now, Julie, you were gone when we basically spent a whole show talking about the Revolution Controller, right? You weren't in for that show. All right, so let's take Muhammad on line three, right, from Toronto. You want to talk about the Revolution Controller, am I right?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what Julie thought about the Revolution Controller.
What Julie thought about the Revolution Controller?
I'll tell you what I think. Well, first of all, I am wondering, now I might be a little bit behind, have they confirmed that they're going to use the gyroscope in the controller? Is that for sure? Is that?
Yeah, it uses solid-state gyroscopes and also a sensor by the television to confirm every type of movement. There's twist and yaw, which are sort of the same thing.
X and Y
and everything. So it knows how far you are from the television and everything.
That's what I'd heard, and I wasn't sure if it was confirmed or if it was still kind of in the rumor phase. But if that is the case...
No, it's for serious.
I think that sounds really cool. I think that it might be a little bit something to get used to for me, because I'm one of those players that when I get excited, I might jump up or smack the person next to me or whatever, and that might totally ruin my game.
But, no, it would make for an interesting slapping simulator.
Exactly. But, you know, I think it's exciting. You know, the thing about Nintendo is they are pretty revolutionary, and they've been promising that they're going to create a new way to play games for us. And if this is what they're talking about, then I'm eager to try it. I don't know what to think until I try it, you know?
Now, let me tell you what I think about it and what Nintendo thinks, right? Nintendo's consistently talked about how they want to make games accessible to everybody. And so, I mean... We all know they're not trying to be the same thing as Sony and Microsoft anymore. They're trying to do something different. And the reason they're doing what they're doing is because they want to be accessible. And now Nate told me that I should tell a story, something that happened to me this week. And so I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but here's something about it, right? I had a friend come over to my house who I don't hang out with a whole lot. She's over the house, and I say, hey, well, you know what? We can play some video games if you really want to. I'm pretty much joking, because I figure what girl is going to come over my house and want to play video games? But I don't know her incredibly well, and she says, yeah, let's play Super Mario Bros. 3. And I go, oh, my God, you sure? No problem. Let me boot that right up. And so I broke out Super Mario Bros. 3, and she was kind of in a bummy mood that whole night. And when she grabbed Super Mario Bros. 3, and she started playing it, right, and she was only using the two buttons that you have to use, right, not using a big, complex controller, this smile came on her face. And it was the first time all night I'd seen this girl smile. And it made me realize, like, I mean, I sort of already knew it anyway, but, like, this is what Nintendo goes after, this moment, when I can stare at this person and see that they're smiling and enjoying themselves, and she's not a game player, right? She remembers something from her distant past. She played a game once when she was a kid, right? But hasn't touched a video game in 15 years. And she has a smile on her face. And that's what Nintendo's getting at. They're taking this controller, making it as easy as possible to use, because we all hold stuff, like... Well, not every single one of us, but pretty much all of us have hands. And we hold things.
And that's a market. If we can get people that have hands.
Yeah. That's not a niche. And so, definitely, like, it's going to be as accessible as possible. And they're going to come up with a lot of great ideas that none of us have thought about. I mean, sure, there's the sword games and the tennis games and the baseball games and the fishing simulators and stuff. But they're going to do some really great things. And for those of us who watched the trailer video, or the marketing video, really, about being able to jump with Mario just by, you know, lifting the controller for a second, or doing all the different things that were in that video, like the cooking thing. Like, little stuff like that is sort of faddish and nifty for a second, but what they're going to do for the most part is just make something that's really easy to use and get everyone playing games, and everyone, I hope, will have the smile that I saw on this girl's face Wednesday night, which just fascinated me.
And that really is the beauty of Nintendo, and that's why I know sometimes on the show we go on our little Nintendo rants and we're getting all frustrated about Nintendo, but really, I mean, when you get down to it, they are the core, and that is what they, I mean, think about it. We all started with Nintendo, and it's not going to be like the next generation isn't going to know what we had when we were young. You know what I mean? It's just, Nintendo's beautiful for that. That's why I love them, and that's why I can never slam them, because they are the best at just doing exactly what you've got, that experience you had, that's what they do.
Yeah, and you're right about that. Thank you, Muhammad, for calling in. I want to open up a line for someone else to call in, so we're going to drop you right now, but I appreciate your calling, and I hope maybe my tirade here can turn you on to the idea of, you know, the revolution not sucking. Nate,
listen,
has other things he wants to talk about.
I don't really like it too much. Listen, I just don't like the idea of a remote. I don't, you know,
but you've been using a remote with every other console game.
No, I haven't.
Yes. Just because it's shaped a little bit differently. What happened when the Nintendo 64 controller came out?
I didn't like it.
Oh,
like, what, my hand's in the middle, and I got buttons over here. What's that?
All right, so is that why I can't get you to touch my guitar controller at home?
For because it's other reasons, too.
Change is good, darling.
All right. Listen, if someone wants to call us and doesn't know the number, it's 866-536-1100. You can call from Canada. You can call from the U.S. If you're in Phoenix, call 602-277-KFNX. But I'm going to get to another caller here who can tell Nate how much he dislikes him now. Elliot from New York City is on line four.
Is this the guy that, likes, that thinks it's awesome?
This is the guy who thinks the Revolution Controller is awesome. Tell me what you think.
I absolutely think it's awesome. But I actually wanted to change my question a tiny bit because, you know, you just gave your impression of the controller.
Yeah.
I want to know how you guys think a new Smash Brothers is going to control. We know it's coming, but how is it going to work? Or will it work at all?
All right. I have not thought about this, but here's my first thought.
I believe it would be like a sword game, if anything.
No. Mm-hmm. No, they won't do that.
No, Smash
it'll be like the other ones, but here's why it'll be great. Because we were talking about I mentioned the smacking simulator. That's essentially what it could be, but my concern is, like, there's going to be so many different varied types of input for that game, because, I mean, you're going to need to jump and defend and do your double jumps and all that. I have a feeling it might be hard to catch on to all the different things you can do, because if you're, I mean, I assume you're a player of the game,
the games
already exist. And there's so many different things you can do with it. You know, hold right and press B, hold up and press B, hold down and press A, like, so many different things you can do that with it such a simple controller, it might be difficult to do without a separate input. And so maybe that'll be when they use a whole controller that you plug the remote into. They've talked about that, right?
Well, it's going to plug into, like, everything, I thought.
Yeah, I have a feeling that game is complex enough that they wouldn't use just the remote, but they would use the gyro action so that you could, swing to hit things and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see if they lean towards the motion side instead of the button side.
It would almost have to be the button side, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think you could do the motion. I mean, maybe a very small, you know, like the gyro, like you lift it back and that would hit people. I don't know. But
I'm sure the motion will be part of, some of the combinations will be button and motion. I mean, because you'd have to make use of the buttons in a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, my hope is that they don't just turn it into, like, create a mini game and that's when you use all the fun parts of the controller and the rest of it is just all buttons. Like,
yeah.
That would just be frustrating. But I'm with you, Nate. I don't know if it would be easy to go.
It would have to be buttons.
Full motion control with that game.
Yeah.
What does Elliot think? Does he have a idea?
I think it's kind of oxymoronic, actually, that they're launching this controller with the intention of being simple, and yet the only game that we absolutely know will be out the first day is this game with such variety and such depth. That it just screams for, you know, 20 buttons on the controller. Granted, you know, it's not a 20 button game, but it very easily could be. So I think the controller is awesome. I think it'll work great for other genres, and I can't wait to play, you know, a first person shooter on it. But I'm just really, really worried about how a Smash Brothers is going to end up.
Well, all right. Well, here's what I've always said.
I know they won't do this, but what if they dumb down the game?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to, you know, do double jumps.
You
can't defend.
That won't happen because there's such a hardcore community.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I know it won't happen. But
yeah, Smash Brothers has a serious following. No, here's what I do want to let you know, just to ease the pain here. Don't worry, right? Nintendo, at least when they have something good in their hands, they have yet to screw it up. Except maybe with Zelda 2.
Yeah, I was going to bring that point right up.
Maybe with Zelda 2, but aside from that, They always do things that are amazing. And, like, some people weren't happy with Mario Sunshine. I tell them to screw off. I liked it. But they're going to do a good job no matter what. And the question will just be whether or not you need to buy that additional controller. Or if they do something amazing.
See, that's another thing I don't really like, because I just see them having all these extra things that you need to buy. And, oh, you want to play the fishing game? Well, you're going to have to buy the fishing game attachment.
Right.
And you want to play this game, or you need to buy that attachment and this attachment. And suddenly there's like 50 things that you need to play for each single game.
See, that's like my dream, because I'm a peripheral maniac.
Yeah, I'm not.
but I'm with you. It would be a little bit frustrating to have to keep track of all that stuff and have to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
But I'm sure they've even talked about how they're going to come up with something very standard. And they already have like the nunchuck thing. And I don't know. I'm not worried about it, but I am curious, since you brought it up. It is going to be a little bit strange to see how that pans out. With a game so complex. And I know that Nate and I have a friend who's like, almost a world tournament champion at that game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much clean house with everybody who plays it. So I would ask
him. He makes it a point to, like, I guess, beat people with the worst character. I don't know which one it is, but apparently there is one, and he finds it very funny to do that.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take another break, and then I'm going to get to a couple of these callers who have been waiting for so long, and I appreciate your holding. We'll be back for just one more segment, because we're only an hour-long show.
Ooh, someone on the IRC says I have good points.
All right. Kick ass. All right, we'll be back after this break, everybody.
AFNX, News Talk Radio 1100.
Are the thrills gone from your lovemaking? Do you yearn for something deeper? What would your life be like if you knew the ancient secrets of becoming a supreme lover? Tune into Tantra by Taya, where we are synergizing the forces of love, spirit, and sexual energy to create a state of unending bliss for those who choose to ride the wave. Live every Friday night at 10 p.m., 1100 KFNX. Also live on the web stream, 1100kfnx.com. See Taya at tantricwave.com. That's tantric, T-A-N-T-R-I-C, wave.com.
Welcome back, everybody. The Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon and Nate and Julie.
Hello.
We're here every week, by the way. Sunday night at 7 p.m. Arizona time, which means in a few weeks, things are going to change. Keep an eye on the website to figure out how to actually listen and when to listen, because, well, like I said, we're going to change when you guys all change your clocks and we don't.
Yeah, that'll
Arizona's
be fun.
Crazy. All right, so again, I have to remind you all that uat.edu is the place to go if you want to learn about the University of Advanced Technology and how you can go to school to learn how to make games, because that's what they do, and that's what we did, and Nate does.
I'm doing right
I
now.
Always just say that we did it, but you're still there.
I'm technically still there, yeah.
Yeah. Interning for Chatterbox, by the way.
Actually, I am, yeah.
You too could go
intern
to where we went
for
and host
us.
For the show.
Yes.
All right, so we have lots of callers here, and I want to thank everybody.
Really appreciate the calling.
We've had an abundance of listeners today, thanks to the fact that they expected an interview that didn't happen with Gabe and Tyke from Penny Arcade, and I'm willing to bet that those two guys who are stand-up gentlemen will definitely be willing to call
back.
In the future.
Yes.
And but
like
we just have to figure out when.
Maybe they thought it was 8, and
maybe
they're calling
did.
In right now. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll figure it out. But please don't disparage the show just because they weren't on today. They will be on. Damn it.
Eventually.
One of these days. All right. So we got a few people online. I'm going to take Rick from Toronto basically because he wants to say good things about us. Rick, are you there?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Just saying, you guys are doing a pretty good job, even though it didn't work out.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Is this your first time listening?
Yeah, but I will be listening every week now, I guess.
All right, well, that's
pretty
killer. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, by the way, because I usually send out a reminder on Sundays, because people always say they forget to listen, like time went by. Oh, it's 8 o'clock, and too late.
Yeah.
Forgot to listen. So do that. And also, there's a survey up on our website, because we're trying to,
yeah, actually,
to survive.
Everyone who's listening right now, if they wouldn't mind going to our website and filling out that survey, that would help us out so
yeah.
much.
We just have a flat-out marketing survey to take, because if we don't get that filled
it's
out,
like,
we won't have a show for much longer.
It's like, what,
yeah, and the survey's
questions?
Really short, so it takes like 2 seconds to do.
Yeah,
did you fill it out, Julie?
Very quickly.
Did you go take a look at it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, look at that. She must be one of like the 5 girls who's filled it out
yeah.
at this point. All right, so yeah.
But apparently RPGs don't exist in the world of our survey.
They're on there now. I just forgot it at the beginning. All right, so thanks for Rick for calling in. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Have a good show.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
And again, thanks everybody for calling in, because without you guys, we
wouldn't have a show.
Totally wouldn't have had a show today. So I'm going to take, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, is it Pojako from Utah? Andrew, help me out here. All right,
hello?
Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
How do I pronounce your name?
Pojako.
Pojako. All right, wow, that's wild. So,
Well, I will confess it's not, like, my legal name. It's my forearm name for PA.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, that makes
Is
sense.
Is that all right with you?
No, that's fine.
That's fine.
Dude, you can call yourself anything, and it will not matter to me. So what did you want to ask?
Well, I was originally going to ask about the PlayStation 3, but I actually got shouted down by a lot of people. I was curious, actually, about why you were so into consoles instead of PCs. I personally, I have phases, kind of.
Yeah, well, it's not that, like, I dislike PC games or anything. That's
definitely.
It's just
no.
that you do.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, I tend to steer more towards console games. I mean, I like them better for for a number of reasons, but it's not like I'm not one of those guys who just says I don't play PC, right? I'm not trying to be fanboy about it. It's just when I was a kid, right, you know, I grew up and had PCs, but I didn't always have the latest PC, and I didn't always have extra hard drive space, and I didn't necessarily know how to deal with problems that came up with a PC. So, and especially when I was growing up, they weren't as easy to use. So when you install a game, you have to deal with DOS. You have to deal with a million different things getting it to work. You have to have the right VGA card.
See, I had the exact same thing, and I never had a problem once.
Oh, I had tons of problems with games not working. And so I just got fed up. I'm like, you know what?
Did you have like an Amiga or something?
No, I had... Actually, I mean, I would have the good computer, which would then become bad, and then eventually get a good computer again, and it would go bad again with time, as everyone does. But my console, you see, it worked. I might have had to blow in the cartridge, whatever, but, like, when the game turned on, it was the same game for me as it was for my friend down the street, as it was for the guy across the country, and it turned on without much hassle. And that's just carried over for the rest of my life, and I've also become... I also think the keyboard is the absolute worst input method for a game that could ever exist. It wasn't invented for games. It was invented for text input, for word processing. And it has somehow stuck around simply because no one has created a universal controller. And that's what I think is good about the 360 and how Microsoft is trying to converge PC and Xbox 360 and have a controller, which I think will become a very standard piece of equipment for PC gaming. The keyboard is an abysmal input for gaming. That's why they're always trying to come up with new solutions. But since it doesn't come standard with every PC, people don't use it. And so the mouse was great. It's a great input thing, but it's only one hand. And you need something for all the extra
I've
stuff.
I've never had a problem with the
because you're so used to it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've been using controllers, which are actually really good for games. And I go, hey, why would I want to use a keyboard and go through the hassle and install stuff and take up space that I could have porn on my computer? Why would I want to have a game there?
See, I got in the deal with Halo 2. I was like, oh, this is a fun game. I'll play it. And it took me a good month to get over that, like, this isn't the keyboard. I'm like, why? I want to look up. Just
now,
do it.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I played Unreal Tournament for a while on the PlayStation 2 and, you know, have the USB keyboard, have a USB mouse. I plugged in the USB mouse, and for my left hand, I used a controller. You know why? Because it was way better.
Actually, my roommate Rick does that.
Really?
And it is a very good system.
Controller in one hand, mouse in the other is one of the best solutions.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know why they haven't done that more often.
If they could only perfect it, I know he has a problem where it'll scroll down constantly, so he has to always overcompensate, but he can kick ass on that game with a controller. I don't know how.
What game are you talking about?
Unreal.
On PS2?
No, on the computer.
But oh, it plugs in a controller.
A USB controller.
Oh, no, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody else did
that.
I thought I was in a boat all by myself.
Nah.
All right, so anyway, Pajako, that is why I think I don't play PC games. And always, I think one of the other reasons is that I don't want to spend $200 or $300 on a video card. And
it all comes out in the wash. He's cheap, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Julie, how'd you get your computer?
Anyway, how's the weather out there in Arizona?
Yeah, how's your friend over at NVIDIA?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your question.
How's your car doing,
well,
by the way, too?
Thanks, caller.
Yeah, I have a console. You know, I have all the consoles, and I can use those. And I already have too many games. So, I mean, there's so many reasons why I don't play PC.
I just kind of got burnt out because I bought a Sega Saturn, and it failed. And then I bought a Dreamcast, and it failed. And then it's like, you know what? I don't like consoles anymore.
Hey,
and then I just
that's what happens when you choose Sega, man.
Sega problem.
I like the Sega.
There's someone on our forums whose signature is Sega does what Nintendo don't, and that's right. Sega fails. Sega dies. But Nintendo don't.
You know, it's such a shame though, because I loved Sega. But you're right. I mean, if someone out there has a Dreamcast that hasn't broken at one point or another, please call in. I want to hear about it.
Hey, you're listening to someone who probably has more Sega Saturn games than anyone you know, and a Dreamcast that he loves, but. You know, you got to admit, you should have chosen Super Nintendo.
Listen,
you should have chosen...
The Sega Saturn was very advanced when it came out. It was like, wow, I'm going to get on the bandwagon. And then, boom!
Yeah,
no more
it was
games
a 2D
for
machine
it.
In a 3D world, my friend. Anyway, thanks for your call, Pajako. Now, we've only got a couple minutes, but Jared from Tucson has been on the line for like an eternity. And so I'm going to bring him on. Jared from Tucson, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well. What can we do for you?
Just... How was that, Dreamcast? I'm so stupid right now.
Did you want to ask a question about Jump Superstars? Is that what you were doing?
I was.
All right.
About the Sega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of agree with you at some of that. Like, they had a lot of really kind of shaky games. But some of my like favorite ones are made by them, like JSRF, Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, Panzer.
Both
all
games
over
you
that.
Can play on the Xbox, by the way.
Oh yeah.
We don't need to bring that up.
That's true. No, I know what you're saying. I mean, as a company, I think Sega's great. I loved the Dreamcast. I loved the Saturn. You know, a lot of the games I could play on that you couldn't play on something else. But as a company, they didn't run their hardware very well. And I'm just telling Nate,
he
should have done
that.
A better job choosing his investment if he's only going to have one.
Yeah.
It's true. I love their games, but my system broke. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah. Every system, actually, with a laser, I think, has died because of overuse of spinning that friggin' CD. But anyway, yeah, so that's what I haven't said anything about Jump Superstars. I haven't played it. It's an import game.
It's
I think
really cool.
It's a
you
fantastic idea. I've only heard good things, and I love the idea that it brought together so many different anime into one game. But as I was just reading in an article online, like, never going to happen in America because there's like 20 different licenses that would be required, and no one's
like
paying
Namco
out that much money. Yeah, and I mean, you've got everything. You've got Shonen Jump, and then you've got Dragon Ball Z, and like you said, there's Namco, everybody. So never going to happen. Somebody just called in. We only have 1 minute for the show. I'm very sorry. Won't be able to get to you, Mark. Next week, we're going to be on, and I'm going to devote a big chunk of time to listeners calling in because we should do that more often.
Definitely.
So stay tuned next week when we'll have another show, unless Gabe and Tycho want to do the thing next week. And then,
which
of course, we'll still have callers calling in. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Make sure you check out our survey online. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com if you
haven't
already.
Thanks for listening, folks.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.